Let me ask you, let's start off with a question today. I answered a question earlier. Your turn. So, when you think about stuff that you're doing, whether in work or school or just life in general, what gives you confidence? What helps you to feel confident in whatever it is that you're doing? Just call it out.
Coffee.
Coffee gives you confidence. Right on. Uh-huh. Just knowing what you're doing. Yeah, that when you actually have a clue about what's going on, that helps for sure. The people around you, yeah. Having people with you in the midst of that can give you confidence. I heard another one over here. What was that? That it turns out. Yeah, that can give you confidence. You actually succeed, right? That's a good thing. Enough sleep. Yeah, absolutely. It helps when you're not just dragging yourself and half-masked with the eyes the whole time, for sure. Anyone else? Experience gives you confidence. Yeah. There's lots of things in life that can give us confidence. Maybe it's even just looking good, right? I mean, you got to get up in front of people, and, you know, I got a new pair of shoes yesterday. I'm kind of feeling good. Do you like my shoes, by the way? Yeah, nice. You know, just looking your best can make you feel confident, whereas if you're kind of just throwing yourself together before having to go do something, yeah, it's just one more thing to feel nervous about. But there's lots of things that can give us confidence in the midst of life. But what happens when something comes along that totally rocks your world? Sometimes we can be cruising along and the sea is calm and we're just kind of in our boat and everything's happy. Everything's just status quo. It's all going well. We feel confident because there's nothing really bad going on. And all of a sudden, a wave comes and just rocks our boat. A couple weeks ago, we had just returned from our holiday time away and we were still down in the Lower Mainland just preparing to come home. And we got delayed, that's another story, but we got delayed, and we didn't end up coming home quite as early as we thought. We had delayed till the Monday, we were supposed to be coming home on the Sunday. Sunday afternoon, we got a phone call, and I think it was Tara's mom who called, and said, Tara, your dad's in the hospital. Now, what you got to understand to get the significance of that is, Tara's dad is the guy who helps everybody else. By saying that, I mean he has helped walk two of his siblings really through the place of kind of the end of life stuff, dealt with all their things afterwards. He is helping currently, you know, one of his sister-in-laws. He's helping all over the place. He is the guy who helps everyone else. Nothing happens to him because he is the helper. And so when we got the call that he was in the hospital, that rocked our world. What do you do when that happens? When the things that give you confidence maybe don't mean as much anymore. Now, last week we talked about, and I asked you, what are the storms in life that you're going through right now? And it blew me away at the end of the service when we took the post-its that we had written our storm on and we had folded them closed so they were sealed up and wrote hope in the Lord on them. And I asked you to come and put them in our little laver up here, which symbolizes Jesus being our sanctifier, the one who kind of cleans us and renews us. And we filled it. And it blew me away because it demonstrated how many of us are currently or have recently come through or see a storm coming on the horizon. There's stuff going on, probably for most of us, where we feel caught in the storm. Now, last week, we said that in the midst of the storm, we can hope in the Lord to carry us through. And I said last week that this coming week, today, we would talk about why it is that we can have confidence in God. Because, you know, we can have confidence in a lot of different things in life. Some of those things can be fleeting. My shoes will not always look this good. I'm just saying, they're going to get scuffed, they're going to get beat up, they're eventually going to fall apart, and I'm going to, you know, feel pretty wrecked in them. But we can always have confidence in God, and we're going to talk about why that is today in the midst of the storm, why it is that we can have confidence in Him. Now, we're going to reread. Oh, see, I forgot to put up my good picture. Look at this. I had a cool picture. See, feeling confident, right? Okay. So, midst of the storms, why can we have confidence in God? Well, let's read again Psalm 146. And listen for what it is that it tells us about why we can have confidence and trust and hope in God, this great psalm of praise. So praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing praise to God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Now, pay close attention. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Now, what this psalm does for us, really, is set up a contrast. And it takes a bit of a shot at human help. You notice that. Don't trust in princes. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's not so much about really saying how bad human leadership is or human help is, as much as it is saying, by comparison, like human leadership can do this, but this is what the Lord can do. This may fail, this never will. Okay? So we have this contrast set up for us, and it's kind of set up for us in two different pieces. Now, did anyone ever watch The A-Team growing up? Yeah? I mean, this was, if you want to talk about a formulaic show, this was like formula, because every time it was the same plot line, right? Somebody was in trouble. Somehow they called the A-Team, and they met up with Hannibal Smith, the leader, who was dressed up in some crazy costume, and that was, you know, because it was all secretive. And then the A-Team came, they found out what was going on, and then they were trying to start helping, and then everything went wrong, and then at the end they would create, out of all these random pieces of whatever, this incredible machine or weapon or something to destroy the enemy and win the day and save the day, right? And the classic line at the end of every episode of the A-Team was with Hannibal Smith standing there smoking his cigar saying, I love it when a plan comes together, right? I love it when a plan comes together because it always did. But unlike TV and unlike the A-Team, the plan doesn't always come together in life. And the plan certainly doesn't always come together when we're talking about human leaders in our world. And this is the first piece of the contrast that the writer of the psalm sets up for us. Human leaders ultimately are incapable. That doesn't mean they can't do anything. That doesn't mean they can't do some very good things. It doesn't mean they're all bad. What it means is that ultimately they cannot save you. Verse 3, he said, do not trust in human princes who cannot save. Verse 4, their plans come ultimately to nothing. It doesn't ultimately work out. Now, you can get some great things done with people in human positions of leadership. Great things can happen, but ultimately they will not be able to save you. Now, I think to a degree, we all know this is true. Just by way of illustration, you may have heard there's an election coming up. And so both here and in the States, right? And in both cases, it's already getting a little bit nasty. Now, let me just ask you a quick question, just to put this point out there. How many of you trust every politician to fulfill the promises they are currently making and will make over the next few months up to October 22nd? Who believes every word that they're going to say? Am I the only one? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we know, and it's not necessarily because we think politicians are, you know, intentionally deceptive, but there is a part of this where we understand that, you know, they may have great dreams and ideas and ideals about what they want to accomplish, but when they get into office, there's realities they don't yet understand that are going to prevent them from doing what they plan to do. They may not be able to fulfill everything they have said they will do. Their plans, their great dreams and aspirations of what they're going to accomplish may end up coming to nothing. So if you are counting on either a shift or a maintaining of our current government to save the day for your life, do you think that's a well-founded hope? It's not to say that they aren't important people and that we shouldn't be praying for our leaders and that they're not trying to accomplish good things. That's not saying any of that. But we cannot trust them ultimately to save us. For those who are married here, how many went into marriage thinking that their spouse would fulfill their every need? Anybody? Come on, be honest. Okay? And if those who put hands up bravely, thank you, how many would say that that's been the case? Oftentimes we put our hope in another person, thinking that they will be able to meet every need, they will be able to fulfill every desire, they will be ultimately what we need. Nobody, no other human will fulfill that for you. So if you're newly married, sorry to burst the bubble for you guys, it's just not going to work if that was your hope, okay? Human leaders, we cannot save. Their plans ultimately come to nothing. On the other side of things, we have God. God who is powerful. He is the one who can actually do things, all things. And it starts off, it tells us that by saying, listen, he is the maker of heaven, of earth, of the sea, and everything in them. Which kind of covers... yeah, everything. He is strong and powerful enough to create everything you see. Do you really think he can't take care of the problem you're walking through right now? Human leaders may not know the depths of your heart. They may not know the longings of your heart. They may not know everything you need, and let alone be able to actually deliver on fulfilling it. God, on the other hand, is powerful. He can do it. He is the maker of heaven and earth. The sea, everything in all of them, he is powerful, where human leaders are incapable. So that's the first contrast. Second one is similar in a sense. Human leaders are temporary. Much to the chagrin of the Romans, I'm sure, who believed their emperors were, you know, going to live forever, they haven't. Just update on that one. But human leaders will not always be around. Ultimately, they will die. And ultimately, their plans also at some point probably will die with them. But it talks about in the Psalm, verse 4, it says, when their spirit departs and they return to the ground, human leadership will not last forever. Doesn't matter how good, how wise, how strong, how able they are, how much you like them. Doesn't matter. They will not always be there. Forrest Gump, his mom had a great saying, dying's just another pot of living. Everybody gets to do it. She didn't say that part. Human leadership is temporary and usually doesn't even last until we die. No matter how good it is, it doesn't matter. You know, you may have a great teacher or a great coach or a great parent or a great mentor. You may have someone who you absolutely look up to who does so much for you and has been such a help for you. They will not always be there. Whether they move away, whether they pass away, whether something happens or the relationship isn't the same as it once was, whatever it is, they will not always be there. Human leadership just cannot be permanent. It is temporary. But on the other hand, God is lasting. He is eternal. Two comments that the psalmist makes about this. In verse 6, he says, God is faithful forever. And in verse 10, he says, God reigns forever. Not for this. Not for this short little blink of a time frame that we get in on this earth. Forever. God is lasting, where human leadership is just something that is temporary, something that can be fleeting. Now, that's sort of the contrast that's set up for us, these two points. But there's one more piece that gets picked up by the psalmist about God that I think we need to catch. Just by way of illustration, when one of the book series that I love, and I mentioned this last week too, is the Chronicles of Narnia. One of my favorite all-time series, just love it. And in the book, of course, Aslan is this great lion who is sort of, you know, if you C.S. Lewis was a Christian writer, so it kind of compares him to Christ at different points. But he's this lion who's the emperor, the son of the emperor over the sea. He's really powerful, he's strong, he comes back to save the day a bunch of times. He's actually the one who created the world of Narnia. Anyways, so Aslan is this great character, and there's these four kids who don't know who he is yet. And they've come into Narnia. They're going to be the ones to help him save the day. They don't know that yet. But as they're talking about, you know, this guy Aslan, they're a little worried about going to meet him because they hear he's a lion. And so they ask, is he quite safe? And this is the response from the talking beaver. If you've never read the Chronicles of Narnia, that may sound a little weird. You should read them. It's in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Great book. Okay, this is what he says. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Is he safe? Not a chance. But he is good. Do you believe that God is safe? He is powerful. He is just. He can do all things. He's created everything. He brings judgment on the wicked. Do you really think we'd call him safe? Not necessarily, but he is good. And that's the other piece the psalmist picks up for us, is the character of God. Let me reread a few verses for you, just so we can hear again in the psalmist's words about who God is, his character, and the fact that he is good. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. God cares. As we heard in those verses, he cares for the marginalized. He cares for those that we as a society push to the fringes. He cares for them. He cares for those who are weak, who cannot care for themselves, who maybe don't have a voice of their own. He cares for them. When we as a society tend to run right over them. God cares for those who are marginalized and weak, but he also is just. He loves the righteous, and he deals with the wicked. He does both of those things too. He can tell what is right and what is wrong way better than we can. And he will honor those who are righteous, and he will deal with those who are wicked and frustrate their ways. God is good. His character is good. Character is one of those things where, again, with human leadership, it can be a little hard to trust sometimes, can't it? Because we're uncertain of a person's character. And even people who have great integrity, who we respect a lot for their integrity, would probably say, your faith is a little misplaced. Because we know our own heart. We know the stuff that goes on when no one else is looking. We know the thoughts that go through our head that we go, oh, that's really awful. We know that stuff, don't we? Human leaders may not have perfect integrity. God is a God of character. He is good. So why can we trust God? Why can we have confidence in him? Because he is powerful. He can do all things. He is lasting. He's not just a flash in the pan and then he's done. He's here forever. And he is good. So we can have confidence in him. So what do we do with this today? What do we kind of take away from this? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been confident for the wrong reasons? Back in my first year of university, which is, I'm getting older, is further and further in the distant past. But anyways, first year, no, it wasn't first year. It was actually the third year. I was doing a first year course, Psych 100. And I took it sort of as just a filler course. I didn't actually need it for my program, but it was one of those ones where it's like, you know, talk to some people. Oh, this is a nice, easy course. Great. I don't have to invest a whole lot there. We'll just get through it, get a decent mark, move on. And so, you know, went through the whole course. I went and did the little, I let them do psych experiments on me, so I got bonus points. That was kind of fun. I turned out just fine, though, don't you think? Anyways, went through this whole course, got to the final exam, was studying for the final, had heard, you know, the final's no big deal, a lot of multiple choice, it's stuff that's just really straightforward, you'll whip through it, no problem, you'll be out of there really quick. So I did a bit of preparation, but I had other bigger courses to worry about, didn't really worry about that because, you know, I had confidence. All these people had told me how easy this was going to be. Then I got into the psych final, and as I'm reading through it, it didn't really seem to resemble the course that I had taken. And I was wondering at one point if I was in the right room or not, because what was on the test didn't line up much at all with what I had studied. From what I understand, what happened within the psych department was that for several years, the grades were too high in Psych 100 because it was such an easy course. And so the year I took it, they decided to change things up a little bit and make it a lot harder in the exam just to bring the bell curve down a bit. So that was my year. And that was a brutal exam. I don't even know, half the stuff I was answering was just A, B, C, D, eeny, meeny, miny. Like seriously, it was so bad. Educated guesses for some of it, but it was horrible. And, but I was confident for the wrong reason. I put my trust in the fact that a whole bunch of other people had said, this is not a big deal, right? I hadn't taken the time to actually prepare. But I wonder if sometimes we put our confidence into things where it's just misplaced. Maybe we put our confidence in the fact that, you know, we have some money and we have that saved up and we're pretty secure in that. You know, we don't really have to worry for anything. We don't have to want for anything. We're good, right? Or we have insurance to cover things. If anything's going to happen to us, we got insurance for this and for that. We got life insurance. We got car insurance. We got house insurance. Maybe we even bought insurance on the batteries we bought from Future Shop isn't around anymore. Best Buy, whatever, right? We got insurance on everything, so we're totally taken care of. Maybe we have confidence because just things in life are stable right now. So we're good. You know, we're good. There's nothing really bad going on. Maybe it's because we live in a country like Canada where we're safe. We don't see people charging to churches with guns and stuff like that on a Sunday. So we feel confident in life because of these kinds of things. But so much of where we put our confidence really is an illusion of control. We think we have our life together. We think we've got it all under control. But what happens when something comes along to knock us down? Because honestly, none of that stuff is invincible. What happens when the stock market tanks and the money that looked so good is now gone? What happens when a loophole is found in our insurance papers to show that we didn't actually have the coverage that we thought we had? What happens when life, which was so nice and stable, suddenly is filled with grief and trauma and all kinds of things going wrong? None of this stuff that we think is invincible is. And so today, what I want to encourage you to do is instead of trusting in that other stuff, place your hope in the Lord. We talked about it last week, and we're talking about it again this week because this is a big deal. I need to get this one right. Choose, and this is a choice, to actually trust in God. And maybe that means we need to confess that we've been putting our trust somewhere else. Maybe we've been putting trust in our own abilities, because I'm a pretty talented guy. I can do lots of things. I'm good. You know what? I can get up here on any week, and I'm so used to getting up here and talking, I could talk for half an hour, no preparation, no problem. God, who needs them? I got this. Right. Maybe we've been putting our confidence in ourselves or in our circumstances or in things that we've done to prepare, and that's where we've placed our confidence. And today, if that's what you've done, confess that and choose the hope in God instead. So last week, we did something where we put post-it notes into the dish just to say, here's the storm I'm going through. I'm choosing to hope in the Lord. This week, as we head out of this place a little later on, and even as we're taking some time to sing some more songs of praise. There's some great songs we have prepared for you today. I want you to give some thought and reflect on why you can have confidence in God. Out of those three things we talked about today, which is the most significant to you? Is it that he is strong enough? Like, do you need to know that God can handle the problem or the situation you find yourself in? Is that the issue for you? Or is it that he's lasting? Because you've had people walk out on you. You've had all kinds of things come apart because someone just left or something just hasn't happened or hasn't been fulfilled. And you need to know that God is going to be around and he's going to stay the course with you. Is that the peace you need? Or is it that he's good and he can be trusted because his character is pure? I want you to take some time and reflect on what it is that you need to hear today about why it is you can trust God for what it is you're going through. Whatever piece of that it is, so that you will know that God is enough for you. He is enough for you in the midst of the storm that you've experienced, that you're going through, or that's on the horizon. He is enough. He can carry you through and do way more than you could ever imagine. We got that phone call a couple weeks ago about Tara's father. And in the interim, it's been a space of ups and downs as you kind of go through emotional stuff and as there's been other tests done and other things and the hurry up and wait of hurry up, get this test done, and now wait for the results. And we're continuing to wait. And the waiting place can be one of the hardest places you walk in, right? When you just don't know yet. And in the midst of that, we continue to trust and hope, knowing that God is big enough for his health issues, God is strong enough to deal with that and bring healing to him. Knowing that God's not taking off anytime soon, he is walking with us through this, and knowing that he is good, that he loves Tara's dad, that he loves our family. No matter how this comes out, that he will be with us, and that he is good through all of this. We're just continuing to trust. And I hope that you will be able to do the same in the space that you're in, knowing that God is enough for you today. So just before the team comes, I want to read a text which, if you've been around here for a while, is going to sound really familiar words, but words that are so important for us to get, that God is with us. This is from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let me pray for us as the team comes. So, Father, we call out to you today. In the midst of the storm, and we choose to hope in you. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. That shows us that even in spaces where human leadership and humans and ourselves may fail, you are more than enough. You are powerful. You last, and you are good. Lord, may we know your presence with us today. May we know that you are enough in the things that we're going through right now. Thank you for meeting us here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.